when I die at my funeral, they have to play the unplugged version of Nutshell. It's my favorite song ever.
Beautiful
written.
Song.
My favorite album of all time is Wrongdoers by Norma Jean. It's the album I've listened to the most. And the best gig I ever went to is Beastie Boys at Bristol Academy. There was a big black metal scene in your part of the world.
Oh, yeah. That's a more extreme, but extreme in another way.
Black metal is my thing.
Really?
Like, for real. Absolutely. My favorite black metal band is the guy who did the murder.
Really?
Yes, Burzum. I named my dog after him. Varg Vikernes. His name is Varg.
Vote for Pedro.
I'll do fuck all.
That's the campaign.
Hey, everyone. This episode is a little different. We had a free hour at Bitcoin Atlantis, and we grabbed Peter McCormack to talk about anything but Bitcoin. Just FYI, we had some audio issues at the beginning, but it gets fixed after a few minutes, so please bear with us. Anyway, we hope you enjoy this fun, totally different episode of the Freedom Footprint Show.
Welcome to Pop Bitcoin Dividends.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, you and I talk about Bitcoin to interesting people all the time.
Yes.
So I thought that you don't do that for a while and talk about other stuff instead.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because I have no good opinions on Bitcoin.
We grew up around the same era, and we're both metalheads. And
yes. Yes.
So start off by talking about a bit about metal music.
Fuck, yes.
Not Bitcoin who talks about that.
Yeah.
So what bands did you grow up with? What albums influenced you? Like, what concerts did you go to? What shaped you in your genes?
So you'll appreciate the first song that got me into heavy metal.
Now,
because Swedish band,
right?
I heard the Final Countdown.
Oh
God, I don't know how old I was. I must have been like 7, and I don't know if it's Top of the Pops or whatever. But I heard the Final Countdown. And I was like, "What is this? This is amazing!" And I was singing it all the time. And then my dad bought me my first ever cassette album. It was a Europe album. People all know the song Final Countdown, but it was a Europe album. It's Superstitious. Well, I had Superstitious, but I can't remember. Didn't have the Final Countdown.
I had Cherry and Final Countdown, and what's the other one?
Cherokee,
like a book.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember, I was around 7 as well, or maybe 8 or 9.
Are you the same age? I'm 45.
I'm 47.
Yeah.
So that would make sense. So, and I remember us playing that in a gymnasium in our school on the equipment, like pretending it was a keyboard and stuff, and pretending to be Europe until 9 years old.
But Europe is still massive in Sweden. Are they like heroes of the country?
I think they're more massive everywhere else, actually.
Oh, really?
Point. Like, and they had a weird career. I mean, they were really big in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then they had a weird record contract, from what I know. So it took them till about, 2000s to get out of that contract and basically rebuild their career. So now they're big again, doing world tours and stuff.
So I had two massive Joey Tempest posters on my wall. Do you remember? I don't know if you use that in Sweden. These shops where it's just posters. You can buy big posters.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went, I got two Joey Tempest posters on my wall, and I had a John Bon Jovi one in the middle, right? It was Joey Tempest, John Bon Jovi, Joey Tempest. But it was like, Joey Tempest was like full long hair, makeup.
Yeah.
They used to wear makeup then.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just every day I was like, look up and I was like, I want long hair. So then it was Europe. I then bought New Jersey by Bon Jovi.
I bought Slippery When Wet.
Slippery When Wet. Yeah, that's called. And then I heard. Then the big shift then came from Iron Maiden. What was the song?
Oh God,
Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter.
Oh yeah. Just a point about this is so interesting because I grew up in Sweden, right? And in the 80s, Sweden was a lot like East Germany. Like there was a state-run television, state-run radio.
Love it.
So
call me.
But you're a recently radicalized status topic.
I'm very radicalized. I have such a complicated, nuanced view on this.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get to that.
That's interesting stuff. But don't worry about that for now. This is a metal thing.
The only
source we had for finding new bands was this magazine called OKEJ.
Okay.
Which is looking for okay, obviously. with pictures in it. So we could see all the bands. We could see David Lee Roth and Wasp and all that stuff. And there was always a battle between Bon Jovi and Joey Tempest, who was the best looking singer. Like, that's the thing. They had to put them in there for girls to find them.
Of course. Yeah. I was a Joey Tempest Maxi, to be honest. I was a Joey Tempest Maxi. But then when I made it Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter, I said, what is this?
Yeah.
It's a bit heavier, a bit more badass. I bought it on vinyl on 7-inch. I still got it. And then the autographs etched on one side. Oh, do you remember that one etched
for yeah.
So I bought that, and then what was the album I bought? Somewhere in Time.
Oh, yeah. It's a great album.
Yeah, it's great.
So the first one when the Dickens was like.
Yeah, first with Bruce Dickens. I don't know. I'm agreeing with you. That wasn't the first album I got. I got whatever the album was. Somewhere in Time was the first CD I ever bought. So when CDs came out, Somewhere in Time was the first one I bought. But I can't remember even the name of the album that had
Killers.
That wasn't Killers.
I had Killers on vinyl.
Whatever Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter. But then I discovered Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah.
So Paradise City was the first song, but it wasn't. I heard that song, and I think it was probably about when Usual Illusion 1 and 2 came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, I love that type of destruction. So I got right into Guns N' Roses. And I had a long period. And with my friends, do you have a group of metalhead friends?
Yeah. But they're more like nerdy and more into more extreme stuff than I am, even though by other people's standards I'm quite extreme because I'm a big Sugar fan.
Right. So it was Metallica or Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And all my friends were Metallica and I was Guns N' Roses.
Oh, I never liked Metallica.
I like Metallica a lot. I never obsessed about Metallica. I'm not a Kill 'Em All fan. Ride the Lightning has some good songs. And Justice for All has some great songs.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Master of Puppets has some good songs. The Black Album has some great songs. I can probably find myself one or two albums out of all of them, right?
Yeah.
So I was all guns raised. I think Usual Illusion 1 and 2. This is my controversial statement. I think Usual Illusion 1 and 2 are better than Appetite for Destruction.
They might compete if they had dumped half of the tracks and made it into one double album.
I don't think you could dump. I've thought about this.
Yeah.
Because it's like 30 songs about across both. I can't dump 15 songs. I can't. But
well, you can dump sections of songs. Like, there are some songs, like Estranged, for instance.
The Ring song. You can't dump it.
Long.
This is very sweet. Really? Do you know what's interesting about Estranged? Here's some interesting about Estranged. Okay, so Estranged and Coma are two of my favourite Guns N' Roses songs.
Yeah.
They never used to play any of them live.
No.
And then when they reformed the band,
yeah.
I witnessed that Slash and Duff, after we formed the band, said, we have to play Estranged and Coma live, and now they play them every single show. I can't take any part of those songs out there. To me, they're okay. You know, think about it. If you go and read Slash's Venice, Axel's never done one of those songs. If you go and read Slash's,
I love.
Okay.
I read both.
So I read between the lines of those. The reason Usual Illusion 1 and 2 happens is because of Axel. They were fucking drugs.
He held
it together.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why the group broke up because they moved to these unbelievable double albums. And those were fucking drugs. And they made a plot. And he brought it together. But I mean, take 15 songs out.
Yeah. Well, it's fine.
I'm saying, it's to produce that many incredible songs, when they're left, I think it's incredible. I love
plenty.
Whereas Metallica, I like Metallica a lot. I was there better.
I mostly like Injustice for All. I think that album was made just after Cliff died, and you could hear it in the songs that it comes from a very strange place. They're young and they're at their most technical skilly level, and the songs are progressive proggy, and I just think it's a great album. And then if we talk Metallica Guns N' Roses, we had to add
the opening act, Faith No More.
Oh man,
one of the most underrated bands of that era.
Do you ever see them live?
I saw Patton live with all sorts of other acts, but not with Faith No More.
So I saw them, the reformed one without Jim Patton at Brixton. Oh, they were
no, that guitar is the best one they had.
Yeah, they were brilliant. I mean, I am a huge Faith No More fan.
Yeah.
I think Angel Dust is just an exceptional, exceptional album.
I think King for a Day, Four for a Lifetime is even better.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bold statement. I didn't mind that album.
And the last one is severely underrated, even though it's not on par with the other two.
I don't think I've listened to it.
It's called Album of the Year. And it had some great songs like Last Cup of Sorrow and Ashes to Ashes and Strip Search.
Yeah.
All great songs.
So from Guns N' Roses, I then went into my grunge phase.
Yes. Now we're talking.
But I didn't get into Pearl Jam much to begin with. I didn't mind them. I definitely like Nirvana. I had tickets to go see him at Brixton Academy before he shot himself. Soundgarden, great. Okay, but I was Alice in Chains the whole way.
All
I
right.
I'm Alice in Chains Maxi. Lane's got a tattoo of Lane Staley.
Oh, nice.
I've got the lyrics in Nutshell here. I've got the lyrics of Black Kids Wait to Blue, the song they wrote about him after he died. And I've got
great
song. Bleed the Freak tattooed on my leg. I've got four Alice in Chains tattoos.
Okay, my metal friends, most of them weren't into the grunge thing.
Okay.
I absolutely love the grunge thing. And I love the first Pearl Jam album. I can't say that I love the other stuff half as much. It's mostly the first one, but my real...
Facelift.
No. Pearl Jam.
Oh,
so
Pearl Jam.
10.
10's good.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to their Live at Benaroya Hall show?
I don't think so.
So
but,
Pearl Jam-
if I'm just doing the... for me, it's Soundgarden that's on top of that list.
Okay.
Closely followed by both Nirvana and Alice in Chains. But I was a sucker for Soundgarden for several reasons. Cornell's absolutely great voice and songwriting skills, and it was a bit more advanced, which I was really into back then.
Did you? Because I didn't really get into Bad Motorfinger. I was like Super Unknown was like me.
Super Unknown is like... That's the best grunge album ever made. Tightly followed probably by, obviously Nevermind in Utero, but also Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies, and Dirt.
So I tell you an Alice in Chains thing. So my kids know this. When I die, at my funeral, they have to play the unplugged version of Nutshell. It's my favorite song ever.
Beautiful
written.
Song.
My favorite song. But I got into Pearl Jam a lot later. Pearl Jam really interesting. I don't know if you know this. When they play bunch of live shows, every show is a different set list. They don't have a set list they play every night. So they'll just pick random, like 20 songs. They might not even play Black, which is like Rage Against the Machine, not playing it's like Guns N' Roses not playing Paradise City.
Yeah.
And so I've been to see them and they've not played a bunch of songs I like. I've seen them. They play Black, Garden, Rearview Mirror, but Benaroya Hall, Live at Benaroya Hall. If you listen to that, they did. For me, the perfect Pearl Jam set list. But I was never into them that much until I got older. Nirvana, obviously. I didn't like Bleach that. Is it Bleach the first one?
Yeah,
or Sliver?
Yeah.
What's the album called? Is it Bleach?
Bleach is with... Sliver is on Incesticide. The one in between was the B-sides and stuff.
Yeah, so Bleach was... Nevermind's obviously great.
Yeah.
And they broke through.
Yeah.
But to me, In Utero was like masterclass of writing.
One. Yeah.
Heart-Shaped Box to me is their best song.
Yeah. And that whole album is so different and so fucking... And the production on it, like having the guitar solos really loud, even though they're not really guitar solos and stuff like that. And it's such a unusual... And really, and they made it in like a week or two. And I've heard that Steve Albini produced it. He says that like the first opening chord of the first song, when it goes, that's like, we're going to have to take another take because I got this feedback thing in. They listened back to it and it's like, no, leave that in. It's great. And it's the first take of the first song they played in that session, which is just mind-blowing. And the first line, this best opening line of any album, it's teenage angst has paid off well. Now I'm bored and old. And that guy shot himself a year later. Like, it's like...
That upset me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many of those.
Lane Staley was a lot worse for me because he's my favorite singer ever.
Yeah.
He's my favorite band. Wrote my favorite song. He was last photoed in public on my birthday. I have a tattoo of him on my arm. I got to see Alice in Chains with the Reform band, and the new singer does a great job.
Yeah.
But it's not Lane Staley.
No one can be.
Lane Staley. I was actually, when I went to see Guns N' Roses in Vegas when they reformed, so they did that first. Like, they did a show at the Troubadour, like the warm-up, and then they played Vegas.
Where he broke his foot.
And so in Vegas, he was in the Dave Grohl's chair.
Yeah, yeah.
And me and my son were literally stood next to Dave Grohl and Taylor Wessing. I'll show you the photo, watching the show. I was like, fucking hell, it's Dave Grohl. But I also met Jerry Cantrell that night, because Alice in Chains were the opening band.
Cool.
And they were brilliant, but it wasn't him. But my first Alice in Chains album was Dirt. I discovered Dirt before Facelift. Dirt to me is a heavy metal album. I know they're grunge, but it's a heavy metal album. His more singing and the harmonies on that, it's incredible.
Amazing.
Facelift still has some great songs, but Jar of Flies to me is just
Jar of Flies is perfection. It's peak. Like those, but it's Jar of Flies. It's not Jar of Flies Sap because the songs on Sap. But yeah, it's not good. Speaking of Grohl, and this is one of the weirdest concert things I had. I had just met Sophia on the tall ship, and we were in Bergen, Norway, and we literally pass a lamppost where there's a poster saying Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age tonight at the castle. It's like,
wow,
we're going to a concert tonight, you know? So we saw them at the same night.
I never really got into the Foo Fighters.
No, but I did get into Queens of the Stone Age. I absolutely love so many Queens albums.
We're thrilled to introduce our new sponsor, the Bitbox 02 Bitcoin Only Edition.
Bitbox.
It's fully open source, Swiss engineered, and Bitcoin only forever. The device only supports Bitcoin, which means less code, less attack surface, and improved security for your Bitcoin. Check out the Bitbox 02 Bitcoin Only Edition at bitbox.swiss/freedom.
And use code freedom for and use code freedom for 5% off.
Next up, Wasabi Wallet, the desktop wallet with CoinJoin built in so you can preserve your privacy.
Ooh!
It's easy to use and open source, and their recent Juggernaut update included loads of upgrades and new features.
Ooh!
They even added support for Bitbox. Go to wasabiwallet.io and download Wasabi today.
Ooh!
Answer me for this from you, and then I'll do it. Fave song, fave album, best gig you've been to? You're only allowed one.
All bands?
All bands, all songs, all concerts, but you're only allowed one. You're not allowed to say, this one and that one.
Best song of any band ever?
Your fave song ever. I told you mine's Nutshell.
Yeah. That's a stupid hard question. Like I say, best gig is probably Pantera, 96.
Yes.
Pantera and Slayer the same night.
Fine, that's jokes. Yeah.
Or Pink Floyd.
No, you're not allowed to do duels. I told you this one.
Okay, it's Pantera then. Best album, my favorite album, probably Super Unknown. Like, I would say that's the one that, like, influenced me the most, the one I listened to the most. We haven't even talked about Slayer or
We're about to get to the heavy bit.
And like, overall best band is Meshuggah.
Okay.
And best song... Like there's
I know it's
too
hard.
Much to best song. No One Knows is right up there. It's one there of my favorite songs.
So mine's Nutshell. I've told you that's my favorite song. My favorite album of all time is Wrongdoers by Norma Jean. It's the album I've listened to the most. And the best gig I ever went to is Beastie Boys at Bristol Academy. It's just insane. So after Guns N' Roses, this is when it went metal. So it was very quickly Pantera and Sepultura. Yeah. And Slayer.
Yes.
But
yes.
I like Slayer, but I've never really been a full thrash guy. I liked Pantera so much. Cowboys from Hell blew my mind.
Yeah.
Do you know I had a fanzine? Do you know that story?
Yeah.
I actually interviewed a lot of these bands in the early days. Like I interviewed Korn, I interviewed Pantera, I interviewed Sepultura. Did I get Sepultura? No, I didn't. Biohazard. But so. I used to read Kerrang and watch Headbangers Ball.
Yeah.
And I just got heavier and heavier and heavier. And so Pantera blew my mind. Sepultura, I queued up outside. When Sepultura released Chaos AD, me and my friends, we went to London. I stole a CD that day.
That album is so good.
Which, Chaos AD?
Yeah.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Ridiculously
good album.
You haven't heard it?
I still listen to that album.
Yeah.
So I queued up outside Tower Records in London to get Chaos AD signed, which I've still got. In a digipack, and then we went to Brixton to see them. But I was into both of those bands. But the big shift for me, I was watching Headbangers Ball, and Biohazard came on.
Oh, yeah.
And Punishment was the video.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what is this? Because, like, I was a skateboarder, so I wasn't a long-haired metaler. I was a skateboarder, so I was, like, tracksuits and, you know, and, like, trainers, short hair. And on comes this band, and it's kind of got, like, this rap edge to it. So I liked hip-hop. And it's got like this, and I was like, who is Biohazard? And then I just went straight into the hardcore scene. Still like everything else, but I just went full hardcore. So I was like, Biohazard, Downset, who kind of rap hardcore, Earth Crisis, massive Earth, I don't know if you know Earth Crisis, they're like a vegan hardcore band.
Were you into nu metal?
I did. So I'm trying to think of the ordering. It was probably a similar time, because when Korn released Blind,
yeah,
I was like, what is this? This is fucking insane.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Korn in a few weeks with my daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I got, but when I say nu metal, I didn't get into much of it. It was Korn were the main ones.
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit, a bit fun. But I was full hardcore, Sick of It All, Madball. I was full hardcore. And I still am kind of in that hardcore. I'd say my favorite genre now is metalcore. So Old Parkway Drive. I like Norma Jean's my favorite band at the moment. I just cannot stop listening to that band. Everything they... To me, the thing about metalcore is it's like intelligent hardcore. I fucking love it. And so... For years, I was into hardcore. I wanted to be straight edge with the X, but I like beer too much. And I used to hang out with some of the UK hardcore bands, Above All, Understand.
What's that straight edge band from Sweden? Refused.
Yeah.
Shape of Punk to Come. That was a great album. From the same town as Meshuggah, by the way.
I didn't go into Meshuggah.
You should. Like, when you finally get it, it's like orders of magnitude better than everything else in metal. And like just objectively, I like some other extreme stuff as well. Dillinger Escape Plan were really good for
That's
a short
that
time.
Extreme.
It isn't okay.
Dude, there was a big black metal scene in your part of the world.
Oh yeah.
Those guys are fucking weird.
Yeah, that's a more extreme, but extreme in another way. I would say extreme in terms of competency / craziness.
Black metal is my thing.
Really?
Like, for real. Absolutely.
The
original Norwegian black metal from the early 90s.
Wasn't there like a whole story, like two bands fell out, one guy murdered another guy in Norway?
Yes. Yeah. And my favorite black metal band is the guy who did the murder.
Really?
Yes. Burzum. Absolutely fantastic. Varg Vikernes. I named my dog after him. Varg Vikernes. His name is Varg.
So you're a Cradle of Filth guy?
No, actually,
too commercial.
Something like that. Yeah. No, I've seen them though. I've seen them back in Canada. Yeah, totally. But the Norwegian black metal. That's what.
I can never get the black metal thing.
We left out Tool. We talked about Maynor, but Tool.
But Tool was a band I didn't get into. So I used to remember them from the Headbangers Ball days.
Yeah.
Their videos.
Yeah.
And there was another one, a band at the same time called Fudge Tunnel, similar kind of style. I couldn't get into it. That Tool was a band I got into. Probably when I got back into Bitcoin, people talk about Tool, and I started listening.
Low time preference.
Well, that's what it is. I think I was too young to get into Tool because it's epic. You know, I went to see them with Surfer Jim in New York.
Oh yeah. I heard that Surfer Jim told us.
Yeah, he wouldn't let me pay for my ticket. Surfer Jim's such a fucking great dude.
Yeah, he's great.
He is a proper dude.
I was so happy for you guys.
So I landed in New York. He messaged me. He's like, do you want to come and see Tool? I'm like, what? He's like, they're playing Madison Square Garden. I was like, shut the fuck up. We nearly went both nights. They were the drummer is just jokes.
Danny Carey is 63 years old.
Is he? He is jokes.
Yeah,
do you know what's interesting about them? Is like Maynard is like at the back of the stage.
Yeah. He is the unimportant one. Yeah. All the other three are better than him. Like,
yeah. No, they are. They were so good, but it was too intelligent for me. I wanted the hard. I wanted the tattoos and the image and whatever. And so I was I was like all into this hardcore stuff. I couldn't get the black metal thing. And then what's really interesting is there's a progression there. I've talked you through it. There was a Rage Against the Machine phase, obviously, as well, Panda. Once I hit kind of hardcore metalcore, I've stayed there the whole way.
All right.
And that's from 20. So from 7 till 20, I went through those phases. 20 years old. I had a hip-hop phase. I still have. I still like hip-hop. But I've, same music all the way through. I've discovered new bands. The Ghost Inside, I'm a huge fan. I'm friends with the bassist now.
All right.
I get on really well with him. And, when they play, I'll go and see them. But I'm the same. It's hardcore, metalcore, metal.
So what are the metalcore bands? What are the quintessential metalcore bands?
I mean, like Norma Jean for me. I've said Norma Jean, Ghost Inside to me. Parkway Drive, before they blew up, their first three albums, which, I mean, again, jokes. Just ridiculously good albums. Who else do I listen to in the like metalcore? Where She Sleeps, I like them. Some Bring Me the Horizon. The Architects. Oh my God. Architects are fucking brilliant. Do you know Architects?
Nope.
Oh my God. You got to get into Architects. Again, unbelievable, man. The sad story, actually, their bassist died when he was like 26. They wrote a song about him. I think the album was All Our Gods Have Forsaken Us. I can't remember. So bad with names. But yeah. But that's it. Since then, it's been, I mean, like, I can go to the gym and I always listen to metal. Yeah, and I can listen to Pantera or a playlist, but it's all metal.
Yeah. You know? I find new bands every now and then, and I think to myself, like, this is really fucking good. I ought to get into it more, and I ought to remember what their names are. Never do. Like, you just don't think of it the same way you did when you were 20. Like,
what do you make of Pantera reforming?
We saw them in Prague. We stayed after BTC Prague. Me and Luke stayed for another couple of days and saw Pantera in Prague.
What?
Yes.
And Pantera is my wife's favorite band.
Yes.
And she was heartbroken when Dimebag died. She never saw them. Like, because I'm
dude,
little.
That whole story's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think Dime or Vinny would have wanted that.
Vinny is who I interviewed, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fucking cool. I got a guitar pick from Dimebag at that concert. So that's why. And I got to stage dive at the Pantera concert in 96. Like,
let me tell you a funny. I'll tell you a funny story in a minute about stage diving. I've done a lot of stage dives. Fuck me, not anymore. I'm too old. But I saw Pantera at Donington Monsters of Rock, and they were truly incredible. Dimebag owned that stage.
Yeah,
I always wanted to see them after, because there's that famous video when they played Monsters of Rock in Russia.
Yeah,
they were unbelievable.
Yeah.
But
with a million people in the crowd.
Yeah, but when they broke up, I was like, they're gonna get back together, and like Vinny would never do it. And obviously, Vinny passed away, so they reformed with Zakk Wylde, as everyone knew it'd be Zakk Wylde. And I think they're headlining the second stage at Download this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I'm going purely for Pantera. But my dad, so tell you a funny story about stage diving. So my dad is, well, he's 76 now, but when he was 62, for his 62nd birthday, I got him tickets for Bruce Springsteen, because my dad likes old rock. I thought he'd like this at Arsenal Stadium. So we went watching the show, and I'm looking at my dad, and I'm thinking, you're not enjoying this. Are you enjoying this? I was like, you enjoying this? He's like, yeah. I could tell. He didn't want to say he wasn't. The sound is terrible in that stadium. I was like, you're not enjoying this, are you? He's like, no. I was like, listen, there's a fucking punk hardcore band playing in Camden. Do you want to go? And he's like, yeah. So anyway, we walk four songs into Springsteen, bored as fuck. We walk out. We go down to Camden. It's a band called Ignite. They're from Orange County. They're a hardcore band, but they do the melodic hardcore. I love this band, right? Anyway, we get there. Right? It's a bit like, have you ever seen the South Park film?
Yes.
You know,
of
when
course.
They're like singing, they get to the counter, they say, four tickets.
The songs in that are so good.
But you know, when they like get to the counter, they're like, four tickets to Ashes of Fire. And, the lady goes, no. So me and my dad get down there. We go, it's like two tickets for Ignite. She's like, no, sold out. I was like, what? She's like, sold out. I was like, you've got to get me. She's like, no. Anyway, there's this big guy outside with tattoos and he's got a laminate on. I go up to him. I was like, are you involved in the gig? He's like, yeah, I'm the tour manager. I was like, listen, I'm a huge Ignite fan. So is my dad. 62. This is the last chance we get to see him. Can you get him in? He's like, yeah, no problem. So he gave us two passes. We went in. We caught the last 45 minutes of the set. But it's Camden Underworld. There's no barrier. People are diving everywhere. So I'm watching my dad anyway. He's like, I said, you're right. He's like, I want a stage dive. I said, Dad, you can't stage dive. You're 60 fucking two. Shut up. Anyway, we leave the gig. And he was like, oh, I really, really wish I'd stage dive. I was like, Dad, you're 62. You can't fucking stage dive. You're too old. Anyway, There's a British band. They made two albums, punk albums, called The Gallows. Unreal band, right? They're playing. I took my dad to see them play. Kentish Town Forum. So there's a barrier. But the circle pit starts. I was like, Dad, you can't stage dive, but you can do a circle pit. He's like, all right, let's go. Anyway, circle pit's going. I grab my dad. I swear to God, you'll meet him one day. I grab my dad, and we do two laps of the circle pit. And I'm holding on to him for dear life when we come out.
All right, at the Pantera gig. We almost ended up in a circle, which was Sarah was pregnant.
We just found out my wife was pregnant.
Just found out, and we're
June,
like 2 meters close to that thing. And I'm like, it's, you know, being a safety officer on all these ships and everything, and all I'm doing is like, oh, there's an exit. Like,
bro, the venue was crap, by the way, that Prague venue. Like, it was terrible. Yeah.
Just to review the concert, it wasn't Pantera. Because it isn't Pantera, right? Because Dime and Vinny are not there. It was really fucking good. It's a good tribute thing. And it's a testament to how fucking good those songs are. Because they're killer songs, almost all of them. And Phil is a great frontman. I mean,
has he still got the energy? Is he stomping around?
He is. He is. I mean, of course, he's older and bigger and whatever, but the passion is still there. And yeah, that's what he gets criticized for every now and then because he said some stupid shit.
Yeah,
but
mildly racist.
But, yeah, yeah. but still, he's very good at dealing with an audience.
Does Zach nail the riffs?
He nails the riff. Puts his own touch on the solos, obviously, because it's impossible to play like Dimebag.
Yeah, yeah.
But he nails the riffs, and Rex is super cool. The drummer is great.
Look, with Dimebag, we were robbed of an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
a person
so
like no one else.
Senseless.
Yeah.
What was the name of that band that him and his brother had?
It was called Damage Plan.
Damage Plan, yeah. Just so fucking senseless. Some psycho goes and shoots him in the head. Because they would have reformed. Pantera would have got back together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we would have Dimebag up there and it would be insane. But I'm glad they're out there playing the songs because kids deserve the chance to see Pantera.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same feel, but I still think they deserve it.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see it. I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see.
Go see it.
Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Primal Concrete Sledge and songs like that are just bulldozers.
What's the first song of Vulgar Display of Power?
Mouth for War.
Mouth for War. That's my favorite song. That song's jokes.
And that album, the Great Southern Trendkill, when every other metal band was selling out and they went the complete opposite direction, made like the most.
What was the third
thing?
The one with the like screw in the head?
Oh yeah, it's probably my favorite Pantera album, Far Beyond Driven.
Far Beyond Driven.
And the pick I got from Dimebag, it said Far Beyond Drunk.
They did some shitty, weird, like, glam metal albums before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all shit, except the fourth one where you can hear something reassembling Pantera, but it's kind of shit, too.
You know Korn have a similar story. They were called, I think they were called LAPD before they became Korn.
High fructose Korn, maybe.
Dude, they fucking nailed a new genre. When they came out, what the fuck was that first album called? I see. I'm so bad with names. Blind
Follow the Leader.
That's the second album.
Third. Yeah,
it was.
I don't remember. I was never super into them. I did get that they're really good and that they created an own thing. It's not really my type of thing, but
What? So I saw them at the Astoria 2, the smaller Astoria in London. It was their first UK show. And it was all dark, and you just had that riff from Blind, that ding, 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 and it was just, it went off. It was amazing. There is an old Headbangers Ball video where Vanessa Warwick is outside after the gig asking people, I'm there with my shirt off like a moron 15-year-old going, corner fucking up, don't take it. I'm like a dick. Honestly, it's on YouTube. You could find it. I look like a bell end. But yeah.
Put it in the show notes.
No, don't find that shit. And so now what's interesting, me and my daughter have this kind of agreement whereby we swap gigs. She picks a gig, I pick a gig, she picks a gig. So I took her to see Slipknot. She had a great time. She made me go and see The Weeknd.
Oh.
Not my stuff. We had a good time. And so in the diary, we have my next one, I've picked Korn. Then she's picked Doja Cat. And I've picked Limp Bizkit. I'm trying to show her the ones that I think she'll enjoy.
Limp Bizkit. Oh, shit. Oh.
Have you ever seen them live?
Yeah, I've seen them live on YouTube. And, their live show is, it's something.
It's a guilty pleasure.
But it's a guilty pleasure, I guess.
It's like.
But the songs are
ridiculous.
Stupid.
Yeah,
they're
break,
stupid.
Break like, stuff.
They are insultingly stupid. They insult my intellect. I dislike them because they're insulting to me.
Bro, go see them live. And tell me you don't have a good time. I've seen them like 5 times when they play Break Stuff. Have you ever seen the video?
They played Break Stuff at that Woodstock thing and started a fucking
stuff.
Right. Yeah, like how clumsy is that? How stupid can you be? Like, or
that's not their fault. They are the band. They're going to play their big song. The best thing about that video, though, dude, is when you see the guys, they're ripping the plywood, the big plywood off the thing, and then they're surfing on the plywood on the crowd.
Did you see the documentary about that?
Yeah, that's not their fault. That's the organizers fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. The organization is completely fucked. And like $9 a water bottle, and you couldn't bring your own water.
Dude, it was
in 99. Like, what the fuck is this?
Dude, it was feral. They're like sexual assaults and it's fucked up. What happened? Yeah. But I actually think that Limp Bizkit set and that song is iconic for how nuts it is. When they play break stuff, they have the breakdown and then they go, and bro, your fucking face. The crowd goes nuts. Like, I've watched that video on YouTube hundreds of times. There's a few like that. Rage Against the Machine, I think it was 93 at Reading. Watch that on YouTube. Nuts. Nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Shows I wish I'd been at.
Speaking of Rage and Soundgarden, like, were you ever into Audioslave?
I couldn't get into them because I like, why am I meant to like this band? Because it's got those three guys from Rage Against the Machine, yeah. But Zach De La Rocha is the voice of Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. I'm more interested in what Zach De La Rocha did since.
Yeah.
They keep reforming and breaking up and reforming and breaking up. Do you know the whole story of them getting the number one in the UK?
Yeah, yeah. When they made the Christmas hit. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Do you know the background, what actually happened? Why? The campaign.
I've heard it, but I don't remember it, so please.
So there's a TV series where it's a reality one with Simon Cowell. What was it called? Not Pop Stars. It was the one where they like have a competition to find a pop band.
And they tried to get one of those super commercial songs to be number one, right?
Every year it would be. Whoever won that would be number one at Christmas.
Yeah, okay.
Every single year. It was like 10 years in a row. And this guy got sick of it. And he was like, so he started a campaign when this like one, I feel sorry for the guy who won the show, right? I can't remember what it's called, but he did a campaign. He said, I'm sick of this. So he did a campaign for Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name, to be number one. And so everyone was buying it. It was number one.
It's a meme.
Yeah. So all over Christmas, they kept up to play Rage Against the Machine, but they can't play the ending. No. The funny bit was Radio 5, which is like a BBC station, talk radio, invited Rage Against the Machine on to play it. Rage Against the Machine promised they're not going to do the fuck you, I'm going to do what you tell me. Anyway, they play the song. And the star bit, he's like, don't do what you tell me. Don't do what you tell me. And when it hits, he just goes, fuck you, I won't. So you get about two of them. They cut them. And the host goes, sorry. They said they wouldn't do it and they did. And don't buy their record. And it was so funny. It's like, you just brought Rage Against the Machine. They're called Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. You're the BBC. You're the machine. And you told them not to swear. Of course, they're fucking swearing.
Yeah.
But the great thing about that thing was, they did a free show in London in Finsbury Park because they did it. It was them, Go-Go Bordello, The Gallows, or someone else. I got tickets. I managed to go. It was unbelievable. I think I said unbelievable about 50 times.
Reminds me when Nirvana did a similar thing, right? They agreed to play one song and then started playing Rape Me instead. Like
that song appeared in, what was that series? Succession.
Yeah.
Did you hear it when that song appeared in that?
No. Nope.
The guy got called accused of sexual assault. So in the huge office, they start playing Rape Me by fucking Nirvana. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Whew.
Yeah, man. I'm still there. I'm a music guy. I love my music. Yeah.
I love to hear it.
See, look, I can't talk shit about Bitcoin. Get me on Metal. I can like remember gigs and set lists and love it.
See, I moved to Finland because of the metal scene there. Not entirely because of it, but Finland has the most metal bands per capita in the whole world.
The more Nordic you go, the darker it gets.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I'm not going to monopolize the conversation, but we're kindred spirits.
Time for a segue.
Yeah, time for a segue, exactly. Well, so we'll have to talk about that another time, but you should come to Finland. I'm wearing the best festival is Tuskafest. Well, it's not the best festival. There's others, but this one's in Helsinki, and it's every summer right at midsummer. So
we should go to Bedford.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Do you know the one I always wanted to go to as a kid? I always wanted to go to the I think it was in Holland, the Dynamo.
Dynamo?
Yeah, the Dynamo Festival. Because I remember one year it was like Pantera, I think Biohazard, Dog Eat Dog, Downs, Fear Factory. Did you get into Fear Factory?
Yeah. I saw them open for Ozzy Osbourne in the Gothenburg once.
So I've only ever stolen one album. I stole Remanufacture when I was in, what was it?
Isn't that the...
Yeah. I've tried, not Tower Records, the other one. HMV in London. I wanted it, so I stole it. Shit myself. But yeah, old days.
We're now partnered with the Bitcoin Advisor, your best choice for collaborative multi-sig custody. The Bitcoin Advisor guides you every step of the way, from taking self-custody of your Bitcoin to securing it in their multi-sig vaults. Estate planning and inheritance is built in, so your loved ones can have peace of mind.
And you know what the best part is? Me and Luke are Bitcoin Advisors, so you can contact us. We can advise you about Bitcoin and Bitcoin custody, how to make custard, anything really.
We're Bitcoin advisors.
So visit us at thebitcoinadvisor.com/freedom or send us a DM or email to get started.
Contact us within 2 weeks and we'll throw in a free set of steak knives. Maybe.
The show is also sponsored by Orange Pill App, the Bitcoin-only social network where you can stack friends who stack sats. Make local connections and find all the nearby meetups, see what's going on in your area, and connect with Bitcoiners around you. And now, with a brand new merchant section, it's easier than ever to find and connect with local businesses that accept Bitcoin.
The best part about Orange Pill App is that you know that it's high signal because you're paying for Orange Pill App, and so is everyone else. There are no Asian ladies asking you how your trade is going on Orange Pill App because it's not a trading app. It's a dating app. Is it a dating app?
So download the Orange Pill App on Apple or Android, send us a DM, and start building your local network of Bitcoiners.
Peter, did you want to tell us to completely change gears now, everything that's been going on with your football club and the drama there with your municipal council?
Yes, I'm now radicalized.
Fuck yeah.
We've had Knut.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
My Swedish libertarian friend and Stefan Livera and all these people for the last 7 years have been like trying to make me a libertarian or anarcho-capitalist, and I've been like, we need government.
And then it's handicap ramps. Yeah. What about the roads?
My fucking local government have radicalized me. I'm like, fuck you. I said to you earlier, I'm thinking of running for mayor. I can't decide whether to destroy it from the inside or the outside. Vote for Pedro. I've got that t-shirt, by the way.
Yeah.
I just can't decide whether to I want to fuck it up, but I can't decide from the inside or the outside. Backstory, anyone listening, I own a soccer team, football team, Real Bedford Football Club in Bedford. We're doing a good job. The team's growing. We have a ladies team now. We invest in youth football. We have a hardship fund for kids who can't afford to play football. People from all around, we're the Bitcoin team. People from all around the world are coming to Bedford. We put in on conferences. Like, we're objectively good for Bedford. The other local team, who are bigger than us, the historic big team, don't like us. Their chairman knows the new mayor, and the new mayor's fucking with us and cancelled our lease, and they're just making our life difficult. We've tried to explain to them why it's wrong, and they don't listen, and now radicalize. What I've decided, these are all incompetent fucking idiots, and they are
cucks.
Well, no, sorry, they're not cucks. Let's just change the color. They're cunts. So their job. No, let's just level here. The problem with politics could be good, and government could be good if people represented the best interests of the people, but we know they don't. Now, these people, if you're elected mayor of Bedford, you have essentially a role as a dictator. You can do what the fuck you want. You are elected as the mayor of Bedford. You have to do the best job possible for the people of Bedford. Just with our football team alone, I know you're not doing that now, because what you've done, you've tried to destroy our team, which is bringing business into Bedford. It's an opportunity for young people to play football. We've tried to improve the equality in football, have more girls playing. We're trying to support families who can't afford, like kids can't afford football boots, we'll buy them. And you've tried to destroy that. So you objectively are not working the best interests of the town. So go fuck yourself. I know you're a piece of shit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to expose you one way or the other. I'm either going to run for mayor and win. And when I go in, my job is purely to cut any waste, cut costs, cut people, and expose it for everything. So everyone in the town, I would say, this is how the council works. And this is how they work against your best interests. This is the special interests they have. This is how they do deals with each other, but they all work in against you. I either do that, or I go from the outside and go, I'm not going to be mayor. I'm going to represent the best interests for people of Bedford privately, and I'm going to do my own thing. I don't care about the fucking council and the mayor. My problem with doing it from the outside is they can stop me doing a lot. I do it from the inside, they can't stop me doing shit. So I haven't decided which.
It depends on how far into hyper-Bitcoinization we are, though. The extent to which they can stop you, right?
I think we're a long...
We're a long way.
Listen, Bitcoin goes $1 million, I can do what the fuck I want. But I had a good chat with Dave Smith, and we talked about libertarian ideas can be effective from within side government as well.
Yeah.
You can be effective. I like Millet, some of what he's doing. I like a lot of things that Bukele are doing. I don't like everything they're both doing.
Same here.
I'm thinking... We need people from in our community to get into there and like break this up.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking maybe I should do that.
Yes. Vote for Pedro. I'll do fuck all.
I will do fuck all.
That's the campaign.
It will make your life better by doing nothing.
Yes. Vote for Pedro.
I'm going to get that as a t-shirt.
Excellent.
It will have to be a vote for Pedro T-shirt.
Pedro McCormick.
Mate.
Thank you so much for doing this.
You love this.
This was a fantastic
This is my
rip.
Favorite one I've ever done. Because usually I'm like, then I say, so what do you think of Bitcoin and why is that in, like, why is that important in the kind of macro environment? Yeah, I'm like trying to remember what Lynn Olden told me. You talk to me about metal or football, I'm here all day. No, it's my favorite one. And you know I love you, brother. And maybe when I run for mayor, I'll have you as one of my special advisors.
Right back at you, man. See you.
See ya. Dude, that was fucking awesome.